I'm not going to go through all this. We'll just kind of spin through it. I will tell you that when Matt decided to go to school 2010, he said he wanted to go to a Christian school. And I know you've heard this story before, but I said, Matt, what do you want to study? And he goes, I don't know. And I can just remember thinking, this is expensive for I don't know. But at the same time, they had all gone to MLK, very liberal. And so I knew that if that's what they wanted for college, we needed to try to make it happen. And so we looked around. We kind of let him decide what he wanted to do. And he decided on what was then FWBBC. And after he'd been there 2 months, he came to me really upset. And I said, what's going on? He goes, you need to go read Blake's Facebook status. Okay, Blake, best friend in high school. They ran track together. And Blake got a full ride scholarship to Boston University. Huge deal. He'd been there 2 months and he put on Facebook, I now no longer believe there's a God. Yeah. And I think if you'd asked Blake when he was in high school, are you a Christian? He would have said, yes, ma'am. I mean, I dropped him off at his church. He went to our church some, you know. But it took 2 months for Boston University to convince him that step away from your faith. You know, and 54% of young people who go to a secular school will walk away. And I always tell, like I told Emily several years ago, if you want to go there, then there's an agenda and you need to be prepared. And so you need to be in going to church and have some study groups and some things like that. Some of those kids walk back, but some of them don't. And we're losing a lot of our students just for that reason. Come on in. So one thing that I read, there's four reasons why you should choose a Christian school. One thing is 18 is not the magical age of maturity. So in other words, I don't think the Bible says train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's 18, you don't have to worry about him anymore. You know, I think God still wants us to be involved in the parenting process and in decisions like that. The second thing is we need to fight the exodus of youth from our church. So if they're going to a secular school, they're walking away from their faith, we're losing them. And as Free Will Baptist, we really need to be fighting that because we need young people who are going to serve God and want to go to a Christian university. But I find it grounds them in their faith. And it's just really, I think it will help us with the exodus that we're seeing with our young people. The next thing is 70 to 75% of church youth, they're leaving church right out of high school, okay? And Josh McDowell says 70% of today's generation, both churched and unchurched youth, claim that absolute truth does not exist and all truth is relevant. And that's scary when you start thinking about that. And we can just provide a lot of opportunity for discipleship and things. There's another quote there for that too. So that we have required Christian service. So they're having to do that and having to be involved in their local church and that sort of thing. But it doesn't mean that you're sacrificing academics to go to a Christian school. And I think a lot of people think that. They think, okay, if you go there, you're not going to get the education that you're going to get if you go somewhere else. So probably the most important thing for you to know about that is the accreditation. And we are accredited by two different things. One is national accreditation and regional, okay? And when you think about that, which do you think is the most important? Regional. I know, it seems like it ought to be national, but it's not. So regional is SACS, Southern Association Colleges and Schools. And it is the accrediting agency that does, let me tell you about the other one first. Our national is with ABHE, American Biblical Higher Education, okay? But the Southern, SACS one, Southern Association of Colleges, is, they accredit Vanderbilt, Tribeca, Alabama, Georgia, all the big schools. What that means is you come to Welch, you wanna go on and get a master's, you've got a degree that'll move on somewhere else. You want to come for 2 years, get your gen ed and Bible classes, and you want to transfer somewhere, no problem. And they look at that accreditation. So that's really important. There are some national accreditations that some other colleges have that are good accrediting agencies, but they're not recognized by SACS. And if you're say, well, I live in another part of the country, it goes across borders. So there's one in the Northeast, there's one in the West, there's several different ones, but they are all connected and they all honor each other with that, okay? And Christian colleges may not be as expensive as you think. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is how do I afford college, okay? I can remember being right where you're at. Matt goes to school, and we're thinking, we did not save a dime for college. And then my twins went to school the next year. So I had three in college for 4 years, and I'm thinking, I don't know how we're going to do this, you know. All three of them chose Christian schools. All three graduated 2015. Matt decided to do the 5-year plan. Which, by the way, you know, he said he didn't know what he wanted to do. He's now pastoring in Georgia. So God works in mysterious ways, you know. And I don't think that that opportunity would have ever come his way if he hadn't have chosen this path and followed what he felt like was God's will for him. So let's talk about financial terms. What grade are you in? You just graduated. Okay, so you guys probably know some of these terms, but you may not, okay? And we like to speak in acronyms, which is unbelievable. So COA, cost of attendance, okay? That's going to be, that varies by institution, and we'll talk a little bit more about that one. The next one is EFC, expected family contribution. We'll talk about that one too. FAFSA, free application for federal student aid. Your PIN number, that one's not an acronym for anything. SAR, student aid report. We have grants that is free money. We have loans that you pay back. We have scholarships, which are usually by the institution, and verification, and we'll talk about that too, okay? So we also have work studies. A lot of schools do. We don't have very many. I think we have one work study position, and that's just according to the size of the school with that too. Okay, we all pretty familiar with most of those? Okay, that's what I thought. So we've got direct cost, which is what you pay us. Tuition, fees, room and board. And then you've got indirect cost, which are books, travel, personal items. It's stuff that most of you are paying for anyway, except for the books, you know, and then you'll add those on. And I always, if you're looking for cheap ways to do books, we have all kinds of little, you know, halfbooks.com, Amazon. There's ways to do that. Go to your fellow classmates and say, are you through with your book from last semester or last year, and get the books from them. The next thing that we do is you fill out this FAFSA, and then the government says, what can you pay? And they have this algorithm, and they pour all this stuff into it. So they say, how much is your income? How much is your income? How many kids do you have in your family? How much savings does your child have? I mean, they take all these numbers and they put it in, and then they say, okay, you can afford this much for college. And I can remember getting that number going, what? We can't afford that for college. It's always way above what you think you can afford, you know. A lot of times they don't take into account, okay, I've got parents who are staying with me, or we've had some major health issues. They don't take all that into account. So I always say, especially with Welch, if you have a problem, come to us and say, okay, our situation is this, and let us see if we can do something. The Board of Education is being a little bit more lenient with some, not lenient, but they're listening a little bit more as far as, okay, we've got this. Let me give you a good illustration. I had a family a couple years ago, and I sit down with them, and their EFC is pretty high. And I'm going, he's a pastor, and I think I know what their situation is. They should be getting some government assistance here. And I'm like, this is so weird. So I called him, and I said, what is going on with your, you know, finances? And I hate to ask that, but, you know, how are you going to help them if you don't know? And they said, well, we have a daughter who was diagnosed with juvenile diabetes. And in order to pay the medical bills, we cleared out our 401k. And they had to do that. Well, what does that show up as? Income. So their income showed up really high, which it wasn't. And so we were able to go in, say, give us your medical bills. We could go in and we could do a recalculation, and we were able to get them some Pell Grants with that. So that's one thing that you always want to make sure is you're being really transparent with those who are working with you with the financial thing. This is what our situation is. This is what we need some help with. So what they do is they take the cost of attendance, which does include the clothing and all that stuff. And then they say, this is what we say you can afford. And then that comes down to your financial need. Okay. This is our numbers for 20 and 21. Okay. So that's this school year. Nope. It's not. It's last school year. I should have changed these numbers. These are the right numbers for this year too. I thought I got all my dates changed when I went through my PowerPoint and I didn't. So tuition is $19,582 and room and board is $79.32. And so that's a fixed cost. So how this works is if you take 12 to 18 hours, we have one cost and it's that $19,582. Okay. There's no fees on top of that. So here's a question I always tell parents. Ask the colleges that you're looking at, what are your fees? And a lot of times they're astronomical. I had a student a couple years ago and they said, I'm going to go to another school because they're a lot less expensive. And I'm thinking, I don't think they are. And I go on their website, start adding up their fees, and they had a parking fee and a technology fee and lab fees, and it was $3,000 in fees that they had that were on top of everything. Well, what we decided to do when we went to block tuition is we said, okay, here's the tuition and fees. Everything's in it. So you may have society dues, class dues, $15, something like that, but you're not going to have any surprises. You're not going to have something that says, okay, we're just adding on a bunch of fees for you. That's your cost, okay? The room and board, the $79.32, is a dorm room and a 20-meal plan. So that includes every meal on campus except breakfast on Saturdays. That's why it's not 21, okay? And nobody was showing up, so they quit serving breakfast. Estimated cost would be like your books, $876. I think that's a little high, personally. It's according to what you're studying. If you're studying math, those books are outrageous.
Amazon is my
best. Yeah. Megan had some books that were like $400, $500. It was ridiculous. Matt is my oldest, was a minister student, or, you know, was studying ministry, and we could get his books for $2 or $3 sometimes. Yes, sir.
Is that cost total for a 2-year degree, or is this?
No, this is per year. This is a 1 year. Good question, though. Yeah. And then you've got your transportation, and of course, somebody who lives in Tennessee, their transportation is not going to be as much as someone who lives in Spain, you know, so they kind of take an average with that. And then personal items, which would be your clothing and toiletries and snacks and all that kind of stuff. So when you get a financial worksheet from us, which you guys are fixing to get yours, it's going to say the cost of attendance is $34,000, and my phone rings off the hook because people say, you told us it was $27,514. And the reason is because the government makes us say this is the cost of attendance. Okay? Does all that make sense? Okay. So how do we pay for college? Here's some of the ways to pay for college. Grants and scholarships, of course, income and savings, and then loans. Those are how most people pay. And this is kind of the breakdown of how most people pay for college, okay? The financial aid sources, you're going to have institutional, which would be like scholarships we give. You're going to have private scholarships, which y'all are a little late for this, but it may be something you want to look into in, like for next year, is utility companies and, like, for instance, Comcast gives a huge scholarship in Nashville to every school, but they have to apply for it, and most of the schools don't even know about it, you know. McDonald's gives scholarships, even if you don't work there. Chick-fil-A gives scholarships if you work there. I've got a student getting that this year. There's Lions Clubs and all kinds of community organizations that give scholarships. So it's just doing research, walking into the bank and say, do you guys give scholarships to your, you know, and then you apply for them. So my biggest advice to somebody who's like going into their senior year is, okay, go write you a good essay and then change the subject matter. You know, how am I going to change the world? Okay, this is, change your essay to make that fit. How am I going to, you know, whatever their subject is, then make it fit for that, okay? Some other need-based would be like work-study programs, Pell Grants, FSEOG, which is for extreme low income, Perkins loans, direct subsidized loans. There's some things like that that you can get things. There's also non-need-based, like there's a teacher education access, which would be for if you want to teach in a low-income area or a inner city, then they will usually reimburse all of your tuition. Are you doing that?
I'm getting paid to go to school, but that's what I was looking at before I thought.
Before you found that, yeah. And then there's the direct unsubsidized and the federal plus loans. Federal plus loans are the parent loans. Okay, I call them parent plus loans because the Stafford loans are in students' names. The plus loans are in the parents' names, okay? And there's two kinds of, we'll go through this in a second, but there's two kinds of Stafford loans. There's unsubsidized and there's subsidized, okay? And I'll show you what the difference is in just a second on that. So I don't have anybody here who needs to do the FAFSA for the next year, so I usually try to explain that it goes back 2 years. So you guys filled out the FAFSA, and it was based on 2019. Next year, it'll be based on 2020. They changed this a couple years ago. It was a good change because what happened before was it was based on, you know, you're starting in 21, and you had to finish 20's taxes in January before you could submit your FAFSA, and so we couldn't do financial packages until March when all that was complete. Now they've backed it up to October and the whole thing's gone back a year. The only thing that means is you may have, your income may have changed from 19 to 20. And if it has, you need to let the financial aid office know that. Especially with COVID, a lot has changed. People have lost their jobs. You fill out the FAFSA every year, every year. And if you have something you need to change on it, you can go back in, contact your financial aid office, and they can make changes to that, too, if there's something that you didn't quite get in there right, okay? But, yeah, that's so here as a parent, there's a couple things you want to keep up with. When you fill out that FAFSA, keep up with your PIN numbers because you are going to use those same PIN numbers again. And again, and my husband's given me permission to tell you about this too, but we fill out the girl, of course, we have twin girls. So he fills out the FAFSA, and we get this notice back that something's not right, that something doesn't match. He had put the girls' birth dates in as different days. One of them is August 30th. I'm like, how did you do that? That I promise they were born the same day, 2 minutes apart, you know. But anyway, that was just, he's... But we learned we had this piece of paper. It was a sacred piece of paper that went into the file drawer that had our PIN numbers, all of the, because your student has to have PIN numbers, and we kept all that stuff. And then we'd get ready to fill it out the next year, and we'd find that piece of paper so we could go back to it, okay? So if you lose that PIN number, then you have to apply for it again, and it's a big pain. So just, if you have that, if you still have that information, hold on to it, okay? Because you're going to need it again. October 1st was the deadline for that, and then this just goes through the FAFSA checklist. Everybody's filled out FAFSA though, right? You don't need me to go through this checklist then, do you? Okay, I'm going to skip this. Okay, so let me explain what some of this. Pell Grants are government, is government money, and so when your income is below a certain level, then the government says we will pay this much. The most it would be is about $6,100, and it goes anywhere from $500 up to that, according to what your income is. FSEOG is a little bit more, and that means your income's even lower, okay? And then there's the work study. There's also the two loans. So here's the difference in the subsidized and the unsubsidized. Subsidized means that the government's going to pay the interest for you while you're in school. So you take out, and it's $3,500 is usually what most students are eligible for their first year. So you take out that $3,500, and then you don't pay it back till after you graduate. But the interest there's no interest during that time. If it's unsubsidized, it's for $2,000, and the interest is going to accrue while you're in school. Okay, you still don't pay it back till after you graduate. The general rule, and I've done some reading for financial experts, the general rule is you do not want to come out of college with more than a car payment. So let's say that you took this $5,500 every year. That would be $22,000 in loans that you would take out, which is a very reasonable car payment that you could have paid off, okay? Here's where people get in trouble, is the amount goes up every year. So you get $5,500 as a freshman, then it goes to, I don't know what the numbers are, but $6,500 as a sophomore, it goes up incrementally every year. So if you start taking that out, then your amounts go way up, okay? You just want to make sure that you're not coming out of college with $80,000 in debt. And I watch students do that, and then I say, where are you working? And they're like, I'm not. And I'm like, okay, you need to be working, you know, because you're better to pay for it now than to have to pay for it later. Does that all make sense? Okay, and then the Parent PLUS loan, and here's the interest rates. You see that the interest rates are better for your Stafford loans. Parent PLUS is not bad, but it's a little bit higher than the other one. So when a parent asks me, do we take out the loans in our name or their name, I always say put it in the student's name, because you're going to get much better interest rates, even if you're planning on helping pay that off. I'm going to skip all of this. Where are you guys from? Okay, we're skipping all this. Okay, this is all the Tennessee stuff, okay? So we have, if you're a Tennessee student, then there's other programs that you can get. So we're going to skip all that. Okay, where do you get money from us? First thing is from merit scholarships. So if you have an ACT of 21 or higher, or SAT 14, let's see, what is the SAT, 1060, or CLT of 68 or higher, then you get $2,500 from us, and then that goes up from there, okay? A lot of people are not familiar with the CLT. That's probably the only one that's available to take from now to the beginning of school. We are a testing site, so that may be something y'all may want to look into is the CLT. It's called the Classical Learning Test, and it's a test like the SAT and ACT. A lot of Christian schools and homeschool students are taking it. I'm hearing that some students are saying it's easier, some students are saying it's harder. I think every test is different. I mean, I have students who do really well on ACT, and then they do bad on SAT, and I have it the other way. So it's just, I find if I have someone in here who's in 10th grade, I say take all of them and figure out which one's your testing style and then go and do it again and again so that you can get the most money possible, okay? So this goes up to $10,000 a year if you have a 31 ACT or 1420 SAT or 94 CLT. And the GPA, there's a GPA to keep all of those, okay? So, as a student, I always give a mom speech, okay? I'm sorry, parents can just not worry, you can just tune me out for a minute. I always tell students you want to make sure you're keeping that, whatever scholarships you have. And there's usually, with merit scholarships, there's a GPA attached to it, okay? So, you go to college, you have these great friends, and they're going, hey, guess what? We're going to Starbucks tonight. And even if you don't drink coffee, you're like, we're going and hanging out. But you've got this huge biology test tomorrow. You just need to have my voice in your head going, $10,000 in scholarship, even if you're at the lowest level, it's $10,000 over 4 years, $4 coffee. Which one do I want to choose tonight, okay? And make sure that you're making really good choices and not losing the scholarships. Every year I have a student, I'll have somebody come through and say, yeah, I lost all my scholarships. And I'm like, why? Well, I didn't do so well. And I'm like, if you can get that scholarship, you can keep that scholarship. Just make sure you're making good choices with that, okay? We also have transfer scholarships, which are they're pretty generous too. So let's go into some other Welch scholarships that you can get. One is Legacy. So Free Will Baptist pastors, missionaries, children of those two categories get $2,500 a year, and we pay that for them. There's also Tippett Alumni Scholarship, and y'all may not have applied for that this year, but you can apply for that every year. And we gave away 10 of them. We all at the luncheon today, 10 of them, and only 10 people applied. That blows my mind that only 10 people applied for it. I'm just like, that's an easy one to do. And so make sure you have those deadlines. There's deadlines to all this stuff. And so when I have somebody call me June 1st and say, can I fill out the scholarship? I'm like, no, you can't, because May 15th was our deadline. Okay, so just make sure you're paying attention to the deadlines on those. And then we also have other scholarships, and the deadline for that's May 15th too. And these are scholarships that families and churches and different state organizations have put together. And according to how the market does, then they will award those scholarships. Now, I'm expecting good things this year because the market did well. So we're hoping that we'll be able to give out a lot of those scholarships. A lot of those are real specific. They may be just for the state of this or this church or the family, you know, or you're studying this subject. So you have to kind of read the details, but you can apply for all of those just with one application with that. Okay, you guys are going to get out early. I figure you want to go to dinner. So, okay, and then I'm going to give you some resources. Right, this isn't really going to help you guys at this point, but it might for future years. So there's all kinds of, I recommend you contact your local church. I recommend you contact the district, Free Will Baptist District you're in, and the state. Different churches are different ways, different states, different, there's all different. For instance, Missouri. I know that they have a minister scholarship that the state does, and then their WNAC gives book scholarships of $200 or something like that to every student. So just little things like that you may not know about, that if you're attending a Christian college, a lot of times our churches are behind that and will help. And if they're not, it may be worth asking, would you consider, you know, doing something like that for students with that. So check into that. There's local foundations, I just mentioned all that, businesses, charitable organizations. You can do internet searches. I would be careful not to pay anything, unless it's like Scholly, which is an app you can put on your phone, you put in information about you, and it says when we have something that matches, it notifies you, you can apply for that scholarship. It's like $4. I figure that's a pretty safe investment, you know. You just don't want to pay $75 for somebody to go out there and look for scholarships for you, okay? Parents, employers. My husband found out when my kids were in school, he's a property manager of Class A office buildings, in other words, high-rise, big office buildings. And he's a member of what's called BOMA, Building Owner and Managers Association, and every year, they have a luncheon at the end of the year, and they say, if you have a student that's going to be in college this year, put their name in this hat, and they draw out three or four of them and give them $500 scholarships. Nothing to it. We got one of them, but we'll take any of them we can get, you know? And your odds do go up when you have three in college for 4 years, so that helped a little bit probably. But I also heard of people, you know, my workplace gives this much scholarship to children of, you know, of the employees. So there's other things like that. Always ask. It doesn't hurt to ask, do we give any scholarships? And go check with your employers with that. We do not. Okay. I'll be honest with you. I have tried to get that through for a couple of years. I would love to see us do. If a student is going and you give so-and-so, we'll give so-and-so, you know, I think that would be very helpful. But we just have not, there's a lot of details to it to be figured out with that. But I think that, you know, I think that would be something that would be very beneficial. For one thing, it gets churches giving, you know, with that. And it, okay. 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 So yeah. And I'm hoping maybe someday that will be something, you know, a lot of colleges do that kind of a match with that. Okay. Watch your deadlines. I've already talked about some of this. and begin researching early, which we're not early now. So, okay, so this is what I do with parents is I sit down and do what's called a financial worksheet, okay? And you'll see we've kind of gone through all of this, but I kind of break down, okay, estimated cost and then the total, and it's the numbers I just gave you, okay? And then what we do is we talk about that the two loans you're available for $5,500, I take out the fees for those, and then what kind of scholarships are you getting? And then I also talk about students working. And I think it's important for students to work. There's two reasons. One is, if a student works, they have a better schedule. They just don't have all this free time. What am I going to do? They say, okay, I've got to get up. I've got ball practice. I've got class. I've got to study. I've got work. And you kind of have to be a little bit more structured. The second thing is, you've got some skin in the game. I don't know if you guys remember when your kids were little. I'll never forget one of my girls, she wanted to buy some toy, and we took her to the store, and we didn't know she had all change for this, and she painstakingly counted out every penny for this toy. But she took care of that toy because she owned it. It was hers, you know. And I think college is kind of the same way. When a student is having to go and put their money in the business office to pay for it, it means a little bit more. And they're a little bit more diligent with their studies and stuff. So I always put these numbers in. If they work during the summer, put $150 a week in for 11 weeks. It comes to $1,650. And if you work while you're in school and put $100 a week on your school bill, that's $3,000. And I've got that based off of working 12 hours at minimum wage. Most of our students are working a lot more than 12 hours. And if you're in the Hendersonville area, you're making a lot more than minimum wage if you're willing to work off campus. Chick-fil-A starts out at $12.50, $14 an hour, something like that. Target's hiring at $15.50. It's just crazy. So I always say if you're willing to work off campus, you can, and they're pretty flexible with you just so they can get somebody to work. But I recommend that students, so there's $5,000 right there that a student could just invest in with their college. Okay, so here's what I do is I take it, and then I call it my chip away process. Okay, so we have this $27,514, and everybody takes a big breath, and then we say, okay, let's see what we can do with that. Okay, so that's what this would look like. Is, let's say that they have a 25 or higher ACT, there's $4,000. Let's say that they're the son or daughter of a missionary or pastor, $2,500. The two loans that we talked about, maybe the church or their state gives some money, so there's $1,000 there. They go to a Christian school or homeschool, there's $2,000. E-team, $1,000. Truth and Peace, if they were an NYC winner, $1,000. So if they've been very involved, which a lot of the young people who are here are very involved, then we just took down the funding to $17,940, and you can't see this bottom number because it's being blocked out by something. But it is, we just went down to $4,700 a semester instead of whatever it was on the other page with loans. Okay, they get $1,000 per year that they are in Truth and Peace. They can only use one per year. So let's say that they've been in, they're a 401 and they've gotten it 4 years. Then that gives them $1,000, their freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior. Let's say they did E-team 2 years, then they would get that their freshman and their sophomore year. Let's say that COVID hit and they were approved for E-team or Truth and Peace but did not go. We still give the scholarship. Okay, it's not your fault that COVID hit. So that's something that, but we may not have it in our records. So just make sure that you're watching your, you know, that, okay, we did Truth and Peace how many times? And so we can make sure we get that put in our system. It was hard to keep up with everything going on, you know, with that. But you can see a big difference. The other number was 11,000 a semester, and now we're at 4,700 a semester. And to me, that's a whole lot more doable. Okay. The way we even offer payment plans too. And I didn't realize this, most schools don't, but we got ready to send, Megan went to Union, my math major, because we didn't have a math degree then. And we get a letter that says your bill must be paid in full before she could start classes. And we were like, okay, here we go. So we do allow payment plans. So there's a down payment of $2,400 that we request at the beginning of the semester, and then we take that and divide it among three payments, okay? We're very flexible. So if somebody comes to us and says, I don't have $2,400, but I can give you $1,500, we're gonna be like, okay, give us $1,500, we'll divide the remainder by, you know. The only thing is it has to be paid off by time they take their finals, or they can't take their finals, okay? So that's the only thing with that. And I think it's seven, the payments went down to $700 on this one, and the other one there, $2,400 a month. So yeah. So you can kind of see how it just kind of, we just chip away at it and see what we can do with it. So that kind of goes through the whole worksheet there. And I have some other, this probably isn't going to help you guys at this point. It might for your daughter for next year, is I've got some scholarships listed there too. And then there's information from us. I have two stories I want to tell you. One is about this family that came in this year. And they sat down in my office and said, we don't know how we're going to pay for this. And I noticed the dad had a prosthetic arm. And he said, I had cancer about 10 years ago, and I recovered from the cancer, and I was doing fine. He goes, we had some financial problems because of it. He said, and he was working at a factory. It was a dog food factory. And his arm got caught in machinery. And they life-flighted him to Vanderbilt, and they thought they had everything reattached, and he became infected, and he lost his arm. And the company told him that they fired him because they said he was not meeting safety protocol. He said, which I was. So you've got this family, the dad no longer can work, does not have an arm, and the mom says, me and my two sons, the son going into college and the one that's a little younger than him, we all work at Shoney's so we can spend time together. And I know. And I sat there and cried because I thought, how are we going to do this? I don't see. I'm sitting there going, I don't know how I can make this work. And it was just breaking my heart. And the guy said, but we believe God, this is where God wants him, and we're willing to do whatever it takes. And so I said, let's do a financial appeal, which we've got an appeal process. If you're in a situation where this is not doable, then we sit down and write me an email. And so he does this and he sends it to me. And I called the financial aid office. And I said, I need you to give me a little bit of information about him. She goes, he doesn't owe anything. He doesn't owe anything. I said, what? She said, his ACT was not high enough to get Hope Scholarship with Tennessee, but it's high, his GPA was. He's getting Hope, he's getting GAMS, all these Tennessee programs. He was getting $9,000 from the state of Tennessee, full Pell Grant because of their financial situation. She said he's going to owe $600 if he'll take out the two loans. And I sat there and just cried. And I said, I've got to get on the phone. So I called the dad and I said, I need to talk to you. And he goes, okay. And I told him about it and the phone was just silent. And he said, God has been so good to us. And he said, and I'm the least worthy. And at that time I thought, it's a miracle story. And I have miracle stories happen all the time, you know. The other story I want to tell you about is a dad came to me a couple of years ago at the National. He goes, I want you to tell my story. And I said, okay, what's your story? And he said, do you remember meeting with us? I do. It was in Missouri. I took him and his family, took their son, two sons and the parents out for dinner. We sat down at the restaurant, and the dad's eyes, the more we went through financial stuff, the bigger his eyes got. And I thought, I finally looked at him. I said, you're scared, aren't you? And he goes, I don't see how we're going to do this. And I don't remember saying this. He says, I looked at him and said, this may take a step of faith. And he said, I went back to my church, and there's a guy in my church who lays flooring. And he said, so I called him and said, if you have an extra job, I need to know about it. He said, we could get a bill from Welch, and the phone would ring. This guy would have a job for me. And he said, we'd get a bill from Welch, and the phone would ring, and I'd have an extra job. He goes, this happened year after year. He goes, you know, my son graduated in May. I said, yeah, I saw that. He said, the phone's never rung again. He said, God provided for me exactly what we needed when we needed it. And that's what I always tell parents when they say, we can't do this. I'm like, you just need to sit back and watch God work and watch him. If this is where God wants you to be, he will provide what you need. I asked my husband a couple years ago, I said, let's sit down and make out a plan for families because we put three through college, you know, and he just laughed. He said, it doesn't work out on paper. And I can, if you want more stories, I can give you hundreds of stories because I've been doing this for a long time of where God has provided over and over again. So if that's what you feel like you need to be doing, if you feel like a Christian university is where you need to be and that Welch has what you need, then we see what we can do to help, okay?